This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This is Issues 2023. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. Welcome to Issues 2023, sir.
Happy to be with you, Steve.
Recently, you hired a new police chief. Is he going to work out, or do we know by now?
That's a loaded question, isn't it? Jill Sullivan is doing everything that's necessary to learn about the community, learn about some of the issues that the police department is facing right now. And he's on what I consider to be kind of an extended listening tour. And I continue to hear positive comments about how he's talking about our issues in the community and what he's doing to solicit input from residents and business owners and the folks that have a stake in our success.
You know, and it seems like a very trivial thing, I suppose, to most folks, but the little bet in the wager they did on the Super Bowl, he and the sheriff, that was good. That was some good, if you pardon the expression, that was some awful good PR. That was just showing that the guys.
Well, you know, yeah, he's very good natured, and he's developed a good working relationship already with the sheriff. And so I was happy to see that they had that wager. And as a Chiefs fan, I was happy to see that he lost. So
yeah, okay. How many? I'm going to start with the basics. We haven't talked for a while. How many people are actually employed by the city of Wichita now?
We have about 3,100 full-time positions or full-time employees, and then we have probably 1,000 more part-time and seasonal employees that work for us.
And is the help wanted sign out at City Hall?
It sure is. Has been ever since the pandemic. And we face many of the hiring challenges that both public and private employers are facing today. I'm starting to see that our candidate pools are getting a little larger, but we've had to be creative in terms of our recruitment efforts in order to make sure that we do have good candidates and a good number of them coming into our interview process.
Now, when the pandemic came along, I suppose that had an impact on some people just leaving the city for your employment. But I'm also wondering about the impact of age. I don't want to get into ageism here, but there are people who are probably retiring from the city as well as other places.
Right. And, you know, we've had a pretty steady pace of retirements. I don't know that they were accelerated because of COVID, but it just has to do with, the baby boomers working their way through the employment cycle. And we are seeing that some people are willing to work longer. And that's one way that employers are dealing with the issue. I'm trying to make it more enticing, or trying to entice people to stay longer. There's as you can imagine, somebody who's been with us for 20 years has a significant knowledge base, and you'd hate to see that just walk out the door. We are trying to make this a good place to work. We want to be an employer of choice. And that means attracting people into the organization, but just as importantly, retaining folks.
And has the city made any pay adjustments to attract and keep workers?
Well, we have. We've negotiated agreements with all of our unions, and all of them had bumps that were meant to make us more attractive to folks that are that want to enter our workforce. A good example is transit. We've had a difficult time getting enough bus drivers for our system, and so we've increased that starting pay significantly to try to attract folks. And you know, we're in a competitive environment. The company that runs the school bus system continually ratchets up their starting pay, yeah. And so we have to be mindful of what they're offering new employees, and we have to be competitive.
Of course, you raised some pay for the fire department, isn't that correct?
We did. There was a concern on the part of our fire employees that they were being underpaid when compared to other cities in the Midwest. And we spent a lot of time working with them to look at what those departments were making, what starting salaries were, what someone who was 5 years or 10 years into the system, what they were making. And then we adjusted accordingly over a three-year period. It's a three-year contract so that we can properly pay our employees that are either coming into the organization or the department have been with us for a while and need to be compensated for their experience and their training.
What has been the impact of federal pandemic relief dollars on city budget here in Wichita?
Well, it was life-saving relief or assistance. Yeah, I don't know what we would have done in 2021, especially had we not received the CARES Act money and then the ARPA money. And it allowed us to fill some gaps. We had short term, especially in 20 and 21, we had reductions in our revenues that are generated here in Wichita. Sales tax revenues is a good example. Those revenue sources have started to rebound, but that federal money, it allowed us to kind of tread water until we could see our economy start to take off again.
That's why my next question now is that the pandemic impacted revenue for the city? And
well, initially, significant downturn, right? And that's where the federal assistance helped us. But now it's coming back and coming back strongly. And I think it's reflective of what's happening in our economy. I don't know if we talk enough about it, but there are some real success stories out there. Our aviation companies are doing much, much better. And therefore, their employees are feeling more comfortable about their position, are spending more. So we see sales tax revenues increasing. Our property values continue to increase, and we rely on property tax to help fund a lot of our services. So, you know, I could go on and on about some of the success stories we've had in the economy, but this, I think we're finally really serious about diversification, and I think that's going to make us stronger and maybe a little more resistant to downturns and future recessions.
Well, recently we got word that there's a new chip factory going on over at Burlington in eastern Kansas, not far from here. Tell us about the incentives, the tax incentives to attract that new microchip factory to Wichita. How did that work?
Right. So it's multi-layered. There's a program at the state level called APEX, which is for large projects that will help diversify the Kansas economy. And Integra qualified for those incentives. However, their project can't go forward if they don't receive federal assistance from a recently adopted bill called the CHIPS Act, which provides significant dollars for high-tech, especially semiconductor production. And I know that the Integra project will be applying for those funds probably here at the end of the month and are hopeful that they'll be awarded those and then their project can go forward. There also is a local incentive component, and whoever winds up hosting Integra will be required to provide some type of local incentives.
This approach of local, state, and federal on a problem or on any kind of a problem, is this something you've seen a lot of in your career?
You know, it ebbs and flows, Steve. When I first started in the business, there was pretty robust intergovernmental assistance, right? We had significant assistance from state and federal governments. And some of it just our daily operations. There was a program way back when called Federal Revenue Sharing, which were dollars that were not earmarked for any specific purpose, and the city was allowed to spend those dollars as they saw fit. Many cities use those dollars to help with capital improvements to help build up their infrastructure. Those days are long behind us, but I've noticed a lot more cooperation at the state and federal levels in the last 5 years. So it's crossed administrations, in D.C. especially. A great example of that is our water treatment plant, and then we'll be making changes to our sewage treatment plant as well. And the capital costs for those would have been well beyond our reach if we had to do it solely on our own. But we're receiving low-interest loans from both the federal and state government, which do make those projects affordable now and will set us up nicely for both water and sewer operations for the next 30, 40, 50 years.
It seems like every week when at the city council meeting they are considering a request for industrial revenue bonds funding, and I know that industrial revenue bonds, IRBs, play a big part in growing business in any city. And yet, just my observation, I bet most people probably don't understand how IRBs work. Can you help us with that? Give us a kindergarten version here.
How does it work? Sure. So industrial revenue bonds have the name of the city of Wichita on them, but they're not considered actual debt for the city. The debt obligation passes on to the company. They can receive a slightly more favorable interest rate on that debt for a period of 10 years. But probably more importantly is many of those projects receive property tax incentives or reductions, as well as sales tax exemptions on construction materials. And that's those incentives are what normally pushes a project over the edge. We always look at these projects to make sure that there's a sufficient revenue or a sufficient gap in their project expenses and revenue to justify the city assistance. But our assistance comes through property tax forgiveness, not in terms of actual incurring the debt.
So if you issue bonds for Acme, whatever, the city actually has no risk there. Is that correct?
No risk whatsoever. And so if Acme were to default on those bonds, say 5 years down the road, their creditors are the ones that will be going after Acme or any assets that Acme held. They would not have any rights to come after the city.
You're listening to Issues 2023 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. The new water plant you mentioned is taking shape in West Wichita. I drive out that way quite a bit. I tell you what, that thing is big.
It is.
I thought it was going to be about the size of a small gymnasium or something. That thing is really big.
Well, you're only off by what? How many fold? It is one of the largest water plant projects in the country. So that'll give you an idea on the significance of the project. But one of the things we learned as we were analyzing our old operation is that we can't be solely reliant on a single water treatment plant, right? And so we've got two strategies. One is to build in redundancies in all the systems at the new plant. So if one part of the plant goes down, we should be able to have a backup that will keep the plant functioning. But on top of that, we learned that we probably need to mothball the existing water treatment plant and keep it in decent condition so that if something catastrophic were to happen to the new plant, we would still have a backup plant. I think that's really important for our residents to know. I know there's been a lot of concern about water. Unfortunately, we had that water boil order, over a year ago, and I think that brought to the forefront the concerns about being dependent on a water system and when you don't have water, what the impact can be.
So what's going on right now with infrastructure and the old pipes out there?
Yeah, so on top of the construction of the new plant, we're also aggressively addressing the aging of our water water mains, our distribution system.
Yeah.
And we've, you know, we the council's been really committed to making sure that we put the right amount of money in every year for the upgrading of the pipes. You know, when we had that boil order, that was an unanticipated event. We never, that line was never on our condition assessment inventory as a line that was subject to any kind of corrosion or you know, possible failure. And so that one caught us off guard, but we do have significant inventory information for our entire system, and we've been replacing our lines as we see elements of risk so that we can, you know, again, keep the system running.
And would you just again, tell us what the new treatment plant is going to cost ultimately, and when do you think it'll be completed?
New plant will cost about $500 million, and it should be completed by the end of 2024.
All right. It's big.
Yeah, it really is. I encourage people to go out and take a look at it while it's under construction. It is a phenomenal public works project.
Well, you know, the Wichita water supply to me looks pretty good for many years to come, unlike some cities in the U.S. I know are struggling with this, with the water thing, right?
You know, they really are, and it goes back to, you know, your question about partnerships. I don't know where we would be if we didn't have, you know, strong support from the EPA and from the state, where they recognize that, you know, we needed help in order to be able to keep our system functioning and, you know, be able to guarantee it for the next 30, 40, 50 years, like I said. I have to give a lot of credit to our staff as well. They've stayed on top of the condition of our water and sewer systems so that we don't experience the kind of failures that you're seeing in Jackson, Mississippi, and other communities around the country.
Tell us about the program to reward citizens who install water and energy conservation appliances.
Yeah, we've got a rebate program, and so and that's to recognize the fact that we don't have an infinite water supply. In fact, after the beginning of this year, we entered into what we call the first phase of our drought plan, recognizing that our Cheney water supply is shrinking somewhat. We're doing great with the Equispeds and the amount of water that we have stored underground, but we have at least one water source that we're struggling with. So if you go ahead and put in a water-saving device or appliance in your home during the 2023, we will give you a partial rebate for the cost of that purchase.
Is it working? I mean, I don't know how you can tell if it's working, but
It is working, and I apologize, Steve, I don't have the exact numbers here in front of me, but we do have estimates on how much water we've saved as a result of the rebate program being in place. And then we're also really fortunate that that Spirit has committed to taking about 1 million gallons of treated effluent from our sewage treatment plant, and they use that as substitute water in their manufacturing process. So that's 1 million gallons a day that we don't have to produce of clean water to Spirit, and that helps us towards our conservation goals as well.
I had some conversation about the city and ethics policy. What is that, and where are we on that, on ethics?
Well, the city staff has always had an ethics policy in place, but I think what you're referencing is the one that was adopted by the mayor and council to be applied to elected officials and members of our boards and commissions. And the council just recently had a discussion about how that should be reviewed and maybe amended. There's a board, an ethics board, that provides guidance to the mayor and council and also reviews any complaints. And they've got some recommendations on how to better operationalize the ethics policy, maybe some tweaks that need to be made. And that's probably what discussion you've heard in the last 30, 60 days.
Now, is the city dealing effectively with just the broader issue of diversity and the way we treat each other?
Well, when you say broadly, I don't know if you mean citywide or within our organization. It's an important priority for us in the organization, and it's hard to serve a public that that doesn't when your employees don't necessarily understand all the issues in the community and what's important to the residents. And so our organization should be reflective of the community and its makeup. And that's what we strive to do in terms of, from a gender standpoint, a racial standpoint, making sure that we're mindful of issues that are impacting the lives of residents with disabilities. Those are all things that are very important to us and you would expect would be important to a public organization.
I'm going to take you into the realm of HR now, human resources, for just a second. You know, I work for a company. We work for our Odyssey has a number of radio stations across the country, quite a few. And every now and then we'll get something come down in our email and say, you need to take this course. They get these little video courses on all kinds of things, whether it's how to behave regarding gender in the workplace, sexual harassment, things like that. And you know, a lot of resources, I guess, for that kind of thing. Does the city of Wichita do those kinds of things?
We do. In fact, Steve, the way that I know you, I wonder if you've seen any of those videos. Probably you could benefit from watching those. But
I can't. I'm not smart enough to find your webpage. So go ahead.
Yeah. No, we do. We have a very robust training program. Some videos, some in-person training. We also use outside resources in terms of bringing instructors into the organization. It's extremely important to us that our employees stay current in their field and with issues that are organizations are facing in the 21st century, including some of the things you're talking about, you know, ever-changing laws that deal with sexual harassment and workforce violence and issues like that.
Each week, your office generates a multi-page detailed document called the City Council Agenda for the coming week's meeting, of course. Can you walk us through, if you can, the process of putting that together?
Sure. I don't think anybody's ever asked me that.
Well, and I don't want you to get too involved.
No, I won't. But that's about a 2-week process.
Okay.
So I will, on a Friday afternoon, I'll receive I'll receive the agenda in a draft form with staff reports that are all in draft form. And I'll review those over the weekend along with some members of my management team. We'll sit down on a Monday then and go through those. We'll edit, we'll ask additional questions. And then during that week, staff will revise reports. Maybe we'll pull some reports, maybe add some items. And then by the time we get to Friday of that week, the agenda is ready to go final for council review and obviously adoption of the recommendations that are in the reports. So they'll get them on Friday. The public gets them or has access to them on Friday. And then the following Tuesday, the council will actually take their formal action.
So you're actually up very late on Thursday evenings looking for typos. Isn't that correct?
Actually, it's usually Saturday or Sunday that I'm looking for the typos.
Now, did we learn from the COVID pandemic? I mean, do you think the city's prepared for the next pandemic, if there is one? And I hear people say all the time, oh, yeah, there's going to be one. What do you think?
Wow. You know, you can't give that answer in isolation. Is the city ready to be more flexible and responsive? I think so. I think we learned a lot of lessons, especially, you know, how best to organize our staff, how to use technology. But how will the federal government deal with the next pandemic? Because we're so reliant on them for resources and even advice on actions we need to take. So I don't know. I'm not sure that we've, at the national level, that we've learned enough lessons yet.
Did you ever actually come down with COVID?
I did, yes.
Mild, bad?
You know, for a few days, I wasn't in real good condition. And I would say that it took me a good week to finally get back on my feet.
Well, it's interesting 100%. Here. Of course, here, our morning show co-host, Ted Woodward, was out for 6 weeks. He got it very bad in the hospital and all that, ICU. I was tested once for it and tested positive, and I didn't even have a sniffle. I had no symptoms at all. So that is just a creepy, creepy virus, no doubt about it.
It is, and my heart goes out to folks who've actually had, you know, come down with COVID a second time.
Yeah,
I don't know too many people that had it in a, you know, that it was more severe the second time, but they still had symptoms that were not pleasant.
Now, final question for the day. Is your job still fun?
I would say most days it is. It's a lot of fun. I've told you before, this is a wonderful community, you know, lovely people, and I love our business operation. I could spend forever working with the talented group of people that we have here in the city, and that's what makes me smile all the time. It's just, I see the good work that they do, and you know, I think our biggest challenge is making sure that the public understands that they're getting value for the dollars that they spend with us, keep working in that.
Well, thank you for your time, as always. We'll talk again, I'm sure. Our guest this week is Wichita City Manager Robert Layton. That's all for this edition of Issues 2023. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.